Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the JinkoSolar First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, 28th May 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Sebastian Liu, Director of JinkoSolar. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's First Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar, Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about the company's business strategies, and Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please be noted that to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or GAAP, JinkoSolar uses certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate Jinko's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢 Sebastian。各位早上、晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
公司本季度再次实现了优异的表现，营收同比增长36.5%，第三方组件出货达到703.5兆瓦，高于我们给出的指引。Our third quarter revenue reached 1,300.5 million,
we had another great quarter with total revenue up 36.5% over the same period of last year, and module shipments to the third party reaching 703.5 MW, exceeding the high end of our guidance of 600 MW. We are speaking to you today from our new production facility in Penang, Malaysia, which just began operations earlier this week. I'm excited to see this facility come to life and eagerly look forward to the opportunities this added capacity will deliver during the second quarter and second half of the year.
马来西亚工厂是公司全球化产能布局的重要组成部分。新工厂虽然两天之前才正式投产运行，但目前500兆瓦的电池片以及450兆瓦组件产能已经被订单完全锁定。在槟城政府和马来西亚工业发展局的大力支持下，同时得益于当地完备的供应链，公司马来西亚工厂的生产成本非常有竞争力。接下来，我们将迅速提升马来西亚工厂的产能至满产状态，并逐渐带动毛利率的回升。
Our Malaysia facility was conceived as an important part of our global production distribution strategy. While production just began, the facility capacity of 500 megawatts of cells and 450 megawatts of modules has already been fully booked. With the strong support of the Penang local government and the Malaysian Industrial Development Authority, and thanks to the strong local supply chain, the facility will have a competitive cost structure. Looking ahead, we anticipate that our overall gross margin will gradually increase throughout the year as we quickly wrap up operations to reach full production capacity.
公司下游业务方面, 第一季度发电量达到 1.15亿度, 收入达到 1.02亿人民币, 环比增长 26.9%, 我们预计第二季度发电量将达到 1.9亿度 到 2亿度, 随着下游并网项目的持续增长, 我们预计高毛利的太阳能发电业务将对利润和整体营收做出更多贡献。
Turning to our downstream business, solar power output during the first quarter reached 115 million kWh, with revenue reaching 102 million RMB, representing an increase of 26.9% from the fourth quarter of 2014. We expect to generate 190 million to 200 million kWh of power in the second quarter. With our project capacity continuing to grow, we expect to see this high-margin business contribute more meaningfully to our net profits and total revenues going forward.
公司本季度并网太阳能项目114兆瓦, 累计并网总数达到617兆瓦, 同时还有370兆瓦的在建项目, 这将弥补上一季度并网计划的延迟, 并将按计划实现全年600到800兆瓦的新增并网目标。 为了支持公司快速增长的电站业务, 我们通过签订一系列的融资协议扩展了项目融资渠道, 包括与中国民生银行以及国营租赁签订的战略融资协议。
114 megawatts of solar project were connected to the grid during the quarter, bringing the total capacity of a connected project to 617 megawatts. With another 317 megawatts currently under construction, we have made up for the slightly shortfall in project connection last quarter and are on track to connect 600 to 800 megawatts by the end of this year. To support our fast-growing power generation business, we have expanded our project financing channels with new strategic financing agreements with China Mission Bank and China Development Bank Leasing.
2015年17.8吉瓦的装机目标 以及发电补贴支付的加速都清晰地表明了中国政府解决日益严重的环境问题以及促进新能源产业发展的强烈决心。强大的政府支持以及持续的行业资金流入都为公司扩张下游资产并分拆提供了良好的机遇和环境。我们会持续推进分拆进程，实现股东利益的最大化。
The new 17.8 gigawatt target for 2015 and accelerated feeding tariff payment process clearly demonstrate the strong support that Chinese government is willing to give as it tackles growing environmental concerns, while at the same time promoting the promising new energy industry. Strong government support and substantial capital flows into China's solar sector have created an ideal environment for us to spin off our downstream business as we expand our project assets. We will continue to push this process forward in a way that will maximize shareholders' value.
得益于逐渐增强的品牌认知度以及与全球合作伙伴日益深入的合作关系, 公司在新兴市场, 例如智利和南非已成为领导者, 我们在美国市场也持续发展, 成为认知度最高的品牌之一。 在日本和英国市场, 得益于当地裁减结束起, 我们不仅大幅提升了出货量, 也有效提高了市场份额。 正如我先前提到的, 中国市场今年需求强劲, 并预计将早于去年, 第二季度就进入销售旺季, 我们的目标是通过有效的利用资源, 巩固在主要太阳能市场的领先地位。
Strong brand recognition and the deep relationship with our global partners have allowed us to quickly become the market leader in new emerging markets, such as Chile and South Africa. We also made substantial progress in the U.S., where we have now become one of the most recognizable module brands. We also significantly increased our market share and shipment to Japan and the U.K., who closed out their fiscal year during the first quarter. As I mentioned earlier, demand from China is expected to be strong this year, and it will enter the peak season since the second quarter, earlier than last year. In general, by managing our resources efficiently, we are strengthening our position as a leading solar product supplier in key solar markets.
研发方面，我们专注于提升公司主流高效产品的效率和功率，并致力于开发高效合规技术以及改进我们的双波组件。第一季度，就是面临中国春节假期以及人民币对美国汇率升高的影响，非规成本依旧保持稳定。我们有信心通过不断的提升生产效率以及技术创新，保持行业内成本领先的位置。
We are focusing our R&D efforts on increasing the efficiency and power output of our mainstream high-efficiency products. We are at the same time working to improve our high-efficiency black silicon technology and double glass modules. Non-silicon costs remained flat during the quarter, despite the impact of Chinese New Year and the stronger RMB exchange against US dollar. We are confident that we will maintain our position as the industry cost leader as we continue to improve our production efficiency and develop innovative technologies.
综上，我对今年一季度的业绩表现表示满意。随着新工厂的投产、新的金融机构和合作伙伴的支持，以及下游业务迅速的发展，我非常有信心，公司将在2015年再创佳绩。
In closing, I'm pleased to begin this year strongly. With a new production facility, the support of new financial institutions and our partners, and the downstream business that is rapidly gaining momentum, I'm confident that 2015 will be another strong year for Jinko Solar.
下面我向大家介绍二季度和全年的业绩指导。2015年第二季度，太阳能组件出货量预计在850到950兆瓦之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货750到800兆瓦。 向公司下游电站业务出货100到150兆瓦，2015年全年业绩指导不变，预计太阳能组件总出货量在3.3到3.8吉瓦之间，包括向第三方组件出货2.7到3.0吉瓦。公司预计2015年全年新增电网电站项目600到800兆瓦。
As for the guidance of the second quarter of 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipment to be in the range of 815 to 950 megawatts, which includes 715 to 800 megawatts shipment to the third party and 100 to 150 megawatts for its own downstream projects. Full year 2015 guidance remains the same. The company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 3.3 to 3.8 gigawatts, which include 2.7 to 3 gigawatts shipments to third parties. The company expects to connect new added solar power projects to 600 to 800 megawatts in 2015.
公司首席战略官Atolo Hello 将向大家介绍公司第一季度在销售和市场方面的主要成绩，以及2015年第二季公司在主要国家与地区的战略与市场前景。
Arturo Hiruvo, our Chief Strategy Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the first quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the second quarter of 2015 in key countries and regions.
谢谢.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Our reputation as a reliable and bankable company that offers high quality and competitive products with a proven track record resulted in a strong growth during Q1. We expect to see this continue in coming quarters in 2015 as we further build upon the brand recognition we have and continue implementing a successful sales and marketing strategy. Especially these days, our healthy financial and operational position and a strong balance sheet differentiate us when compared to some of our competitors. We continue to build our business around our loyal customers, and we attract new ones by expanding our commercial operations both in size and geography. We are growing our market share across diverse PV markets, including China, Europe, USA, Asia Pacific, and emerging markets. Despite the seasonality in Q1, demand for Jinko solar modules grew faster than expected with strong sales in China, the UK, Japan, the USA, Turkey, and Australia. We also entered into new countries in emerging markets in Q1. So module sales exceeded 700 megawatts. That represents 16% more than the top end of our guidance. We continue to diversify our customer portfolio as we rapidly expand our market share among the industrial, commercial, and residential segments. This was on top of making inroads into several new markets, including Turkey, Brazil, Central America, and South American markets. During the first quarter 2015, we had sales in over 40 countries. Our presence in Europe and the USA continues to be strong despite anti-dumping and countervailing duties. Over 100 megawatts were sold in the UK alone. Another big portion of our shipments went to China, allowing us to maintain the leading position there. We expect to achieve similar results for the full year 2015, as we believe we will benefit from the Chinese government's continued support and the approved target of 17.8 gigawatt installations from the National Energy Administration. We announced in Q1 that we signed a strategic financing agreement with CDB Leasing together with a 3 billion renminbi financing agreement from China Minsheng Bank. In India, the cabinet approved extra support for 15 gigawatts of PV capacity under the National Solar Mission, with the intention to install 100 gigawatts by 2022. In Japan, the feed-in tariff will be reduced by a total of 16% to 23 US dollar cents in July after a previous reduction in April. Despite this reduction, Japan's feed-in tariff still remains one of the largest in the world with a high subsidy. We are keep establishing subsidies and manufacturing facilities remains our key strategy in developing long customer relationship and expanding our business in important markets. We are very positive about our prospects in South Africa, where the government continues to support public tenders, recently announcing round four and extended round four, where we expect several of our customers to be selected. In the first quarter 2015, solar product shipments to the third parties amounted for a total of 789 megawatts, consisting of 703 megawatts of solar modules, over 53 megawatts of silicon wafers, and 32 megawatts of solar cells. We delivered approximately 37% of solar modules to China, 13% to North America, around 22% to Europe, which includes 14% to the UK, and 9% to emerging markets, with 23% to Asia-Pacific, mainly to Japan, which achieved over 100 megawatts. For 2015, we'll continue to capitalize on the growing recognition of JinkoSolar Solar brand and localized sales and marketing services to expand our market and diversify our customer portfolio and geographic presence. We continue to build a strong partnership network with distributors, PV developers, and EPC contractors across the globe. For the first quarter, we have signed some big new contracts, including a contract with Swinerton Renewable Energy in the USA, EDEC in Japan, Tecnatia in Turkey, among others. The rapid global expansion of our business has provided excellent exposure for the JinkoSolar Solar brand. In terms of marketing, we launched PR campaigns in the UK, USA, Germany, Netherlands, Japan, Brazil, and Australia. And we have been sponsors and been a speaker at Solar Plaza tours in several countries. During the quarter, we launched branding campaigns and attending over 6 solar and renewable energy exhibitions and conferences. In particular, we are happy to have been invited to the Bloomberg Renewable Energy Finance in New York. We have been sponsoring several events, including MIREC in Mexico. Aside from that, we continue to benefit from the brand exposure of our closer partnership with Solar PV TV. I'd like also to highlight our global agreement with DuPont. This demonstrates our determination to provide products with highest standards. Our customers are very pleased with this agreement. Regarding ASP, in Q1, ASP decreased slightly due in part to competition, feed-in tariff cuts, and impact of the depreciation of the euro and Japanese yen against the US dollar. Our ASPs during the quarter were over 58 cents on average, around 2 cents lower than the previous quarter. We see for next quarter a stabilization of ASP or a slightly decrease. Now, finally, I would like to turn the call over to Charlie, our CFO, who will go over our financial results and guidance for the second quarter 2015. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and evening to everyone on the call. First, I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the first quarter of 2015, followed by guidance for the second quarter and full year 2015. As Mr. Chen mentioned earlier, total solar product shipments in the first quarter of 2015 were 789.2 megawatts. Total revenues were $443.5 million, a decrease of 7.5% sequentially, and an increase of 36.5% year over year. Gross margin was 20.3% compared to 22.8% in the fourth quarter of 2014 and 24% in the first quarter of 2014. The sequential decrease was primarily attributable to the decrease of ASP due to the depreciation of Euro and Japanese yen. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production was 24.1% in the first quarter of 2015, compared to 24.3% in the fourth quarter of 2014, and 26.6% in the first quarter of 2014. Income from operations was $37.1 million, compared to $38.1 million in the fourth quarter of 2014, and $32.7 million in the first quarter of 2014. Total operating expenses were $53 million, a decrease of 25.6% sequentially, and an increase of 17.5% year over year. The sequential decrease in operating expenses was mainly due to the decrease in shipping and warranty costs and the reversal of provision for downtime in the first quarter of 2015. The company's operating expenses, excluding stock-based compensation, the change in provision for doubtful accounts, the impairment and disposal loss on obsolete fixed assets represented 12.5% of its total revenues, representing a decrease from 13.1% sequentially and a decrease from 12.7% year over year. Operating margin was 8.4% compared to 8% in the fourth quarter of 2014 and 10.1% in the first quarter of last year. Net interest expense was $10.2 million, a decrease of 23.3% sequentially, and an increase of 3.2% year over year. We recorded an exchange loss of $4.3 million, primarily due to a foreign currency exchange loss of $13.5 million, offset by the gain of $9.1 million from the change in fair value of forward contracts. We recognized a loss of $9.9 million from the change in fair value of convertible senior notes, which was offset by a gain of $5.1 million from the change in fair value of capped call options. We recognized an income tax expense of $3.2 million compared to an income tax benefit of $1.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2014 and an income tax expense of $1.3 million during the first quarter of 2014. Net income was $8.2 million compared to net income of $39.4 million in the fourth quarter of 2014 and net income of $1.5 million in the first quarter of 2014. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 28 cents and 24 cents, respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $27.6 million compared to non-GAAP net income of $38.2 million in the fourth quarter of 2014 and non-GAAP net income of $6 million in the first quarter of 2014. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 88 cents, respectively. And now I'd like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of March 31st, 2015, the company had $282 million in cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash. As of March 31st, 2015, total short-term borrowings, including the current portion of long-term bank borrowings, were $483 million compared to $420.2 million as of December 31st, 2014. Total long-term borrowings were $180.6 million as of March 31st, 2015, compared to $54.2 million as of December 31, 2014. As of March 31, 2015, the company's working capital was negative $195.9 million compared to a deficit of $18.7 million as of December 31, 2014, which was primarily due to the investment in the downstream solar power projects and the reclassification of bonds payable of $129.1 million to current liabilities in the first quarter of 2015. For the second quarter of 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 850 megawatts to 950 megawatts, which includes 750 megawatts to 800 megawatts module shipments to third parties and 100 megawatts to 150 megawatts for its own downstream projects. Revenues will not be recognized for the modules shipped to its own downstream projects as required by U.S. GAAP. For the full year 2015, the company estimates total solar module shipments to be in the range of 3.3 gigawatts to 3.8 gigawatts. Total new project development scale in 2015 is expected to be in the range of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts. At this moment, we're happy to take your questions. Operator.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. Your first question comes from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you, Philip.
I'd like to explore ASPs. Can you share with us what the ASPs were by region in Q1? And then can you talk about how you expect ASPs in China to trend as we go through the year?
Philip, this is Charlie. The ASP in the first quarter was 58 cents, down from 60 cents from the fourth quarter of last year due to the continued currency depreciations, particularly for the euro and Japanese yen. We expect the ASP in the second quarter will be stable or go down slightly. If you want to look at the ASP by regions, in China, the ASP is in the range of 53 cents to 55 cents. It's quite stable. And we estimate the ASP in China in the second half year will continue to be stabilized. The ASP, the market price in China may go up slightly in the second half year due to the anticipated strong demand. For the U.S., the ASP in the first quarter is 70 cents, stable compared with last quarter. We estimate the U.S. ASP will go down very slightly in the range of 65 cents to 70 cents due to the anticipated lower tariff rate to be announced in July this year. You know, the U.S. market is pretty strong, and the overseas capacity available is very limited. So we believe the ASP in the U.S. will be quite stable in the rest of the year. Japan, the ASP is quite stable in terms of local currency. In the first quarter, the Japan ASP is in a range of 58 cents to 60 cents. We estimate the second quarter, the ASP will be in a range of 55 to 58 cents. Europe, as you know, the minimum import price go up to 56 euro cents, so the ASP will go up in the second quarter.
Great, thanks, Charlie. You had a decrease in bad debt expense in Q1 as well. Can you tell us what the size of the expense was in Q1?
In the first quarter, we reversed $7 million for the provision for doubtful accounts. We continue to closely monitoring, you know, our accounts receivables, so we don't expect any significant increase, you know, for the provision for the doubtful accounts.
Great. One last one for me. In terms of margins, I know you mentioned you expect them to improve as we go through the year. Can you give us a sense of the magnitude of the improvement in Q2?
In the second quarter, we expect the gross margin will be stable or go up slightly. But for the second half year 2015, we estimate the gross margin will improve a lot. You know, firstly, we continue to cut our module cost, and we believe we can continue to cut our module cost from both polysilicon side and non-silicon side. The polysilicon price now dropped to $16 to $17, and we estimate the polysilicon price will be stable in the rest of the year. And for the non-polysilicon side, we are upgrading our equipment in China to improve the production efficiency and automatic level, and we continue to invest in R&D, including the PERC and black silicon technology, to improve the solar module efficiencies. And last but not least, we are streamlining our supply chain, and we continue to believe we can reduce our material purchase price. And in the second half year, you know, we have started our productions in Malaysia factories, and we plan to produce and ship around 250 megawatts in the second half year to the U.S. market. The cost of the Malaysia factory is very competitive thanks to the strong infrastructure, abundant human resource, and advanced supply chain. So for that part, we estimate the gross margin is in the range of 25% to 30%.
Great. Thank you, Charlie. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Your next question comes from Patrick Chubin from Credit Suisse. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question, and good evening, and nice work on the quarter. A few questions for me. First, if you look at Q2 volume guidance, with volumes down slightly to third party, I guess which markets are you seeing that sequential change?
Patrick, firstly, in terms of the guidance, we guide 850 megawatts to 950 megawatts for the total module shipments, including third-party shipments of 750 megawatts to 800 megawatts. If you compare it to our first quarter total shipments, it's around 750 megawatts. Third-party is around 703 megawatts. So we estimate quarter by quarter over 10% increase. And we expect a significant shipments in U.S. market and the China market. And also, we expect that our emerging market shipments will increase as well. Due to the reduction of feed-in tariff, we estimate our shipments to Japan and UK will go down in the second quarter.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. Lastly, on JinkoSolar Solar Power spinoff expectations as far as timing or next steps, what are your current thought process?
For the JinkoSolar Power IPO, we are moving the IPO process forward. The SEC rules do not allow us to make detailed comments. We plan to communicate with investors when we reach significant milestone in the near term. And China, you know, is implementing the favorable solar policies, and the anticipated interest rate will also help to increase the project returns. And we plan to reach cumulative 700 megawatts to 800 megawatts in operation by the second quarter, and 1.1 gigawatts to 1.3 gigawatts by the end of this year. So we are very confident our IPO will be successful in 2015, thanks to our large project scale in operation, high-quality projects, and favorable policies in China.
Thank you. Just last simple question on the Malaysia facility. You mentioned that it's fully reserved out. How far have you committed that capacity, or how does that order book look?
As of today, we have signed 1 gigawatt sales contract for the U.S. market, including 2015 and 2016. So it's a very, I think, good questions. And actually, the overseas factories, we have the first mover advantage, which showed our strong execution capabilities and the disciplined capacity expansion approach. And we estimate the total investment for the Malaysia factory will be paid off within 6 months to 8 months. And we continue to see you know, the U.S. orders coming in.
Great, thank you.
Hello?
Hey, Patrick, do you have other questions?
Our next question comes from Sheng Zhong from Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first one is I noticed that your internal shipment is slowing down in the first quarter. Is it because of your capacity constraint?
Yes, we are running the capacity at 100% utilizations due to the capacity constraints and the strong shipment in Japan and UK and better than expected shipments in China. We controlled our shipment to the downstream in the first quarter, and we rescheduled the shipment to the earlier or second quarter.
Okay. Do you consider the expand your capacity using the outsourcing format?
The capacity expansion for the first quarter, by the end of the first quarter, our total capacity was 3 gigawatts for vapor, 2 gigawatts for cell, and 3.5 gigawatts for module. And we are looking to expand the capacity to 3 gigawatts, 2.5 gigawatts, and 4 gigawatts for the module side. The increase will from our overseas factories in Malaysia. We may expand capacities of module side in China if the demand is stronger than what we expected, because the capex is very small.
Yeah. So understood. So do you consider some other ways like the OEM or something to extend your capacity?
We take the asset light approach. We may consider the OEM approach, but the assumption is, you know, we want to the OEM supplier is high quality, as we can control the process to make sure the high quality of our solar modules.
Sean, this is Sebastian. So in terms of OEM, we are very cautious because, you know, first, it may have some quality concerns. Second, you know, it may have some negative impact of our margins. But if the demand is very strong, definitely we will consider, but we are very cautious in general.
So, yeah. And my next question is about the you are investing in the R&D, and you mentioned the black polysilicon technology. And so, have you started mass production of this black polysilicon module?
We take the prudent approach in terms of the R&D, and we want to invest in the R&D of the technology, which can be implemented to the mass productions with cost effective. For the black silicon technology and the PERC technology, we plan to implement the technology in a certain lines this year.
Here, okay. So how much efficiency do you expect to be improved through this technology?
It's expected to increase to 0.5% to 0.6%. The conversion efficiency.
Yep. Okay. Thanks. That's my question.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Frankie from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question is regarding the project in China. So could management generally comment the project approval progress from NEA and also the subsidy distributions from MOF recently?
The timing of feed-in tariff payment is still critical for the solar markets in China. We expect China will accelerate the approval process for the solar projects on the subsidy catalog. The next round of subsidy catalog will we expect to be approved in the second quarter or the third quarter. And, you know, the government is fully aware of the bottleneck and the NDRC is possible to increase the renewable surcharge. The recent talk from the government is to pay all the outstanding feed-in tariff by the 2014 and start paying the feed-in tariff for the projects connecting in 2015. So for our downstream, the DSO is in a range of 6 months to 9 months. We expect our DSO will improve a lot in the second half year 2015.
And Frank, this is Sebastian. Just one comment. In fact, this is a very good sign is that in late April, the NDRC asked all the companies to submit a list of your project which haven't been paid feed-in tariff yet. So we see it as a strong sign that you know, the NDRC may consider to accelerate the whole process.
Got it. And my second question is about the ASP trend in China. As you just mentioned that China may enter into an earlier peak season in Q2, but however, we see the ASP in China is still on the downward trend. So just wonder your thoughts on this situation, whether it is because of the silicon and polysilicon price decline or about the issue in the supply side. Thank you.
For the China demand, firstly, we are very optimistic, and China will achieve or beat the 18 gigawatts installation target. In terms of the ASP, I think for the Tier 1 companies, the ASP is quite stabilized, which is in the range of 53 to 55 cents. And I think you're right. The polysilicon continued price drop may provide additional room for the price reductions. But I believe, you know, in the second half year of 2015, with anticipated very strong demand, the ASP will be at least to be stable.
And Frank, as you know, that you know, all the approvals from each province is now still in the process of releasing. Already, some province has already released the approval. Yeah, but still, I think the real peak season just began. So I think you will see quite you know, strong demand from downstream shortly.
And I can add more colors on the Chinese market. Firstly, the financing environment is improving a lot. Both policy banks and commercial banks are very active in providing loans. And secondly, the National Energy Administration is implementing the monthly monitoring and quarterly adjustment mechanism to enforce the 18 gigawatts installation targets. We are seeing more and more Chinese companies coming into the solar sectors, including state-owned enterprise, public companies in the Chinese and Hong Kong capital markets, and private equity investment funds.
Got it. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Hello, operator.
Your next question comes from the line of Frank He. Sorry, your next question comes from the line of Chua Wai Moon from Kitex. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have a couple of questions regarding downstream. So in the Q4 call, you mentioned that in Q4 you completed, I believe, 270 megawatts of projects, of which 150 was connected in Q4. So that leaves about 120 to be connected, and I assume that was the amount, basically the amount that was connected in Q1. So on top of that, the 600 to 800 full-year guidance that you're giving for projects, is that on top of the 120 that was left over from Q4?
Yeah, maybe I can talk this way. You know, we connected 114 megawatts in the first quarter, and we had a cumulative 17 megawatts in operation by the end of the first quarter. And we have, on top of that, we have 360 megawatts under construction. And as of today, for the we have get around 500 megawatts permitting for the projects in 2015. And we target to get around 800 megawatts permitting by the end of second. So we are very confident we can achieve our project connection plan in this year, which is in the range of 600 megawatts to 800 megawatts.
This is Sebastian. To answer your question briefly, that includes that 120. So not on
top. Okay, that includes.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. And then the second question is, can you give some color as to, you know, the system installation cost that you're seeing right now? Is that about 7.5 or RMB or so? Or and also, what type of lever and unlevered IRRs are you seeing?
In terms of system cost, you're right. It's in the range, I think, RMB 7.5 per watt. And in terms of IRR, for Jinko, because we build the projects from the green field, and which makes sure the lower or the system cost and the higher project returns, our IRR without leverage is in the range of 8% to 12%, and IRR with leverage, 70% leverage is in the range of 15% to 20%.
One comment, it's just 7.5 including the VAT, so that is deductible from our total revenue.
Got it. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. For the questions at this time, Mr. Sebastian Liu, please continue.
Okay, on behalf of the entire Jinko Solar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. Have a good day and good evening. Thank you and goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.